respond yet. And only be muted. Good morning, honorable members. Are you able to hear us this side?
Good morning, Lovato. Yes, we can.
Is the sound clear, sir? Much better.
On my side, it's much better now.
It's also better on my side, Mr. Squella.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'm sorry, this one is still using the cast. After casting, it was before casting, it was those people. What do you call them?
The vinyl.
With a big name, and we used to put a 10 cent on the top of it. So it's obsolete, man.
Good morning. We are also taking this opportunity to welcome our staff and from the Office of the Minister. We also welcome Minister Pando in our meeting today. The agenda is projected there, honorable members. Do we have apologies that we have asked?
Thank you, Shebesin. We have two apologies, one from Deputy Minister Mashego Dlamini, she will be joining the meeting a bit later. She's taking a COVID test. And then Honorable Deputy Minister Portas, I think, is attending Cabinet Committee meeting.
Thank you. Yeah. And we apologize for Honorable because some of the members that the could not make it. And a number of the members were affected by the problems of COVID. It's unfortunate that not all of us were able to do it because it was an effort to get all of us. Honourable members who are on the platform, this time it is myself, Honourable Gatman, and the Minister. We are only three. So the rest of you will be on the platform. We hope that you are audible, and we are audible, because we have to advise some issues of us making you to be able to participate in the mission. We are also welcoming on the
recording in progress.
South Africans who may be joining us through other various platforms that have been provided by Parliament. Deputy Minister Masipo is also part of the meeting. And I thought I should bring that to your attention, honorable members. Let's just do a testing and hear honorable statement. If you can just do that, honorable statement. Honorable Mpanza, if you are ready, honorable statement does look like a
greetings, Chair, the Minister, and Honorable Beckman, and the department that side. I think we can hear you, but sometimes it fluctuates on your side, but we can hear you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Chairperson.
Yes, we can hear you.
Chairperson?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, we can't hear you, sir.
You can't hear me?
No. I see Honorable Chetty has also written something that he also cannot hear.
Maraneka, who's coming? Okay.
I can hear you, Chair. It's much better now on my side, yeah.
Moruti, do something on your side, because Honorable Banza can hear you.
It's a voice too low, Chair. It's as if you are speaking from Russia. Or Ukraine.
Why not Brazil? Okay. Can you hear me now, Honorable?
Yes, sir, I hear you. But I'm asking.
And I hear Honorable Nolas very, very well, but I can't hear the chairperson.
Yeah, it's because both of you are not in the first platform, because I understand how to do it. So we are not in the first platform. Thank you.
end of October. And we must have a physical meeting of the parliament. We have had to send the list of the consular commissioners from the department or the consular. And then there was an agreement that this meeting has to happen by all means possible. And we want to thank the minister
Okay.
Honorable Chair, please switch off your mic.
Contract which has reached the end of the contract term, but where services continues to be utilized without the appropriate processes having been followed in terms of procurement law. We have now terminated several of these contracts, and of those that continue to exist, we have, as previously discussed, in the portfolio committee, introduced the process of monitoring and oversight through establishing a contract management sector in the Chief Directorate Supply Chain Management. In order to delve more deeply into the matters of irregular expenditure and non-compliance, we approached the Office of the Accountant General in National Treasury to assist us by appointing a forensic company to investigate these matters more thoroughly than it is done in the audit process. Investigations are currently underway, and with the assistance of Treasury and the Accountant General, a forensic service company has been appointed to do this work. Apart from irregular expenditure and poor contract management, we've also had a history of unauthorized expenditure due primarily to the compensation of employee schemes imposed on us by the National Treasury. As honorable members are aware, our compensation of employee budget does not cover the cost for filled positions in Furthermore, we have experienced over the years problems related to the depreciation and fluctuation of the rand against most of the currencies. And this has impacted on a fair determining step in foreign currency. We've taken measures to address this inadequacy in the compensation of employees through implementing measures such as identifying missions that we believe could be closed to save us costs, as well as looking at the transfer schedule of the department and to arrange this in a manner that saves the department some costs in terms of security. We've also tried to adopt other measures to help us in saving money, and I believe one of the most important steps will be the approval of the organizational structure, which we have now submitted to the Department of Public Service and Administration. I think that the structure we have proposed is one that is a good fit for the work the department has to do, and it also does address most appropriate employment of our officials and brings us closer to within the envelope of the compensation budget we provided with. However, Chairperson and Honourable Members, I have to say, I believe that DERCO is inadequately funded. And so I'm hopeful that the recently appointed DG, Mr. Dangle, will as part of the first half approach National Treasury to discuss the budget, because really, I don't believe that we are funding this department most appropriately. I think we also have to address other matters within the department, as the cost of living adjustment, the allowances that are provided to various officials, and other activities and funding for goods and services that is sometimes of an envelope that doesn't link to the needs that the department might have. So all of these are matters we're looking at, and we're trying to address them quite efficiently and strictly. In the 2019-2020 audit, we got a qualified audit due to the Auditor General raising a finding on what is called a disallowance account. Honourable members are familiar with all these matters, but we will be repeating them as they're part of the issues that have been asked to speak to. We were unable at the audit point to provide sufficient supporting documents for an amount of 186 million rand. In the account was really made up primarily of transactions that were carried out at mission. Following completion of the Auditor General's audit process, we decided to appoint a dedicated director to the task of ensuring that we hear this disallowance account and that we provide it sufficient documentary evidence to be able to explain the funds. A great deal of work has been done by the director. We also appointed an accounting firm to assist us in hearing the accounts. At the first instance, when we began the process, it was easy to find the documentary support and to begin hearing. But I guess as more and more was clear, the documentary failure got lost. And so we had to get an accounting firm to assist us. The firm completed their work in June last year. However, the account could not be cleared to the satisfaction of the Auditor General. In the 2020-21 financial year, we have reduced the material misstatement in the disallowance account from 186 million to 73 million. In 2021, we continued with the work and today to reduce the exception to 14 million grants. We are discussing the issue of concurrence with the Minister of Finance as each project is carried out and completed. Members have asked about the subpart bill. National Treasury wrote to us in response to a letter from those then concerning the draft subpart bill. I responded to National Treasury in October last year, and the only major outstanding issue on the legal form of this entity. I have received a response yesterday, which I am processing from National Treasury on their view of the legal form, and once we conclude those deliberations, we will come back to the committee and inform you of the choices that have been made. We've also been able to resolve the matter of the composition of the advisory committee, which has been an outstanding mechanism at National Treasury. We had the thought that establishing one vehicle for both agency and the fund would create a seamless reporting structure which would usher in a new era of development assistance. SACMA is currently registered as a government component of the Public Service Act. However, the National Treasury has drawn our attention to the fact that if you have a fund distinct from an agency, the fund would have to also meet the features of the Public Finance Management Act, and therefore, we would find ourselves encumbered almost with two entities equal function. And this is not a cost-effective approach. We therefore are going to have to look at revising the current content of the subpart bill and ensuring that it is drafted for submission to cabinet once Treasury and ourselves have finalized all the outstanding matters. We've also, following detailed and concentrated deliberation with members of the committee, repositioned our property management functional area as part of our organizational structure review, which is underpinned by an organizational renewal process. As I've said, the process is at a very advanced stage, and I am awaiting the response of the Minister of Public Service and Administration to my submission. Honourable members have also asked about the Pan African Parliament. In terms of the host country agreement between our government and the African Union Commission, on the feast of the Parliament, our government undertook to provide a permanent structure at the expense of South Africa for the PAP. It was agreed when the host agreement was entered into that a temporary venue pending the provisional permanent structure would be provided. As members are aware, we're using a temporary facility in our thing, and this has worked well thus far. We also agreed to obtain and make available cost formulating water services, electricity, telephone services, email and other facilities that would be required by the Parliament for them to be able to have a team of trade to do their work. The property and facilities section of DERCO is responsible for these costs. And we work in close collaboration on this with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure to the pictures of the custodian of government assets. We're also responsible for sourcing translation and interpretation equipment for each sitting of the PAP. We also have agreed that we provide chauffeur-driven E-class Mercedes vehicles for the four vice presidents of the PAP and for the president during any session of the parliament. The agreement is that this transport is provided the day before sessions commence and is retained for one day after the conclusion of session. We also provide transport for the Pan-African parliamentarians from Oa Tambo to hotels and accommodation establishments in Midrand, which establishments are approved by government for that purpose, and we transport them to Gallagher Estate and back following sessions. We also transport them back to airports to return to their country after the session. The arrangement with respect to transport provision is similar to that for the Vice President and the President. We've undertaken to furnish at our own expense such protection as is required to ensure the efficient functioning of the PAP with security provided to stop any interference in the work of the Parliament. The police services provided are under the direct supervision and control of the National Commissioner of the South African Police Service or any senior official designated by the Commissioner. The President of the Pan-African Parliament can liaise directly with the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation regarding any particular security matter related to the Parliament. It's the role of the African Union to ensure that the police service have access to the premises of the Parliament in order to perform security support duties we expect them to carry out. We are not responsible for the administrative role of making reservations or for paying for accommodation and related expenses of members of the Pan-African Parliament. All these costs are borne by the Parliament itself. We do provide accommodation in house for the President of the Pan-African Parliament. This is not in the host agreement, but it is a courtesy that South Africa provides. We have had recently, beginning from the end of last year, weekly meetings convened by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure in order to resuscitate the project of building a seat of the Pan-African Parliament. DERPO has been working closely with Public Works in these weekly task team meetings. The Department of Public Works and Infrastructure is pursuing acquisition of land that was allegedly sold illegally to a third party, land that had been identified for the farm. There was to be an initial court hearing in December last year, but the third party requested a postponement of the case. We also have an outstanding issue pertaining to the rehabilitation of a wetland which was discovered during a preparation of foundation for the building. We've been informed by DPWI that not much progress has been made with the land, as the expert responsible for the work left the Department of Public Works. They've now asked Forestry, Fisheries and Environment to assist, but they haven't had a response from this department because it is the one that must oversee any wetland rehabilitation process. So we are still working on resolving this matter. With regards to allegations of misconduct of senior officials in the department, including financial misconduct relating to the former director, Mr. Mohari, the disciplinary hearing was conducted and concluded in July 2021.
Mr. Mohai was found guilty on all the charges. The presiding officer pronounced the sanction of dismissal in August last year and gave effect to the decision. The former Director General has indicated to us through lawyers that he is challenging his dismissal at the GPSSBC and the arbitration hearing is currently underway. With respect to the former CFO, Mr. Ramachal, there were allegations of misconduct, including financial misconduct. Again, a disciplinary hearing was conducted and concluded last year in July. The former CFO was found guilty on all charges. The presiding officer pronounced the sanction of dismissal in October last year. The acting DG gave effect to the sanction once received. The former CFO is also challenging his dismissal at the GPSSBC, and an arbitration hearing is also underway. Other cases of consequence management will be presented as part of the slide presentation that I now ask you, Chairperson, to allow the acting Secretary to do. This was really to give an overview of some of the key issues as a detail on all the issues in this slide. Your permission.
Thank you very much, Minister, for the opening remarks and on the content.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. Good morning to our Minister, Deputy Minister, and the colleagues present today. With me, Honorable Chair, I have the acting CFO who is going to delve in detail on the presentation as alluded to by the Minister. The acting CFO is going to share information on the audit action plan and how it is being implemented. She's also going to talk about the expired contract and the BT Communications contract. She's also going to talk about a property management portfolio from the finance branch and update on the PAP part, but the Minister Existence dealt with that part. Advocate Duvet, who's joined us online, will also talk about SATPA. And we have our Chief Director for Labor Relations who will go into detail on the consequence management and the cases that we are dealing with as of now. If you allow me, Honorable Chair, I kindly invite the acting CFO to present. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, ACODG. Ladies and gentlemen, as the acting DG has indicated, I will be taking you through the presentation as it's showing on the slide. The first area that I will deal with is the audit action plan and how it's being implemented. In terms of the audit action plan, what we want to cover or what we want to address with the portfolio committee is the issue how we have developed our audit action plan and how different it is from the previous financial years. What we have done in the current financial year is that when we were looking at our audit action plan, we have then included the consultation with all other relevant stakeholders within the department and also the oversight bodies. And those oversight bodies that were consulted, including the governance structures, are internal audit section, the Director General's Forum, the National Treasury with a specific the Office of the Accountant General. We also consulted with the Audit Steering Committee, and lastly with the Auditor General's Office, which is not listed in the slide. Then the other emphasis that we looked at when we're developing the action plan is we looked at addressing the recurring audit findings as a result of the department, that resulted in the department receiving a qualified audit opinion. The address was specifically on the root causes of those audit findings. The following were main areas that came out in terms of our audit. One is non-compliance with applicable laws and regulations. Secondly, was the department could not provide sufficient supporting document in respect of an amount of 76 million, which is the disallowance account, which the Honorable Minister has already also alluded to. And then the last one was on the area of material misstatements. So these were the three areas that were highlighted in our audit report. Very sharply, but the one that qualified the department is bullet number 2, which talks to the disallowance account. Now, in terms of non-compliance with laws and regulation, this was specifically on supply chain management processes, and it was relating mostly to contracts that we continued to use as a department, which were not in line with the supply chain management process. Now, to date, all those contracts have been terminated, with the exception of one, the networking for the ICT. Now, we are in the process of finalizing the procurement process to acquire the services, the networking services. Now, in addition to the cancellation or termination of the contract, we also re-established a contract management unit within supply chain. And then this unit, to date, they have already developed the contract management policy, which was then adopted by the Director General's Forum's meeting that took place during this week. And then we also implemented a contract management register, and it has been updated up to end of January, and we are busy updating with the month of February, and we'll be starting with March. Then thirdly, we have also implemented an early warning process to remind end users of the contract that have that are about to expire in 6 months. So this will then assist us to start with the process of procurement early in 6 months. But the input that we've received from the different forums have requested us to push this period at least to a year. So this is what we're going to look at when we finalize our processes. Then the aim now that we are, what we are left to do within the contract management is to migrate our contract management to contract management system that we currently having, which is a spreadsheet, Excel spreadsheet. We are migrating that document to a National Treasury document that has been provided to us from the month of January. Treasury has then made that system available to all departments, so we are migrating our contracts as well. On the area of consequence management, steps have been taken to ensure that the reported expenditure are investigated. The Office of the Accountant General is the one who's facilitating this, or Accountant General is facilitating this process on behalf of the department. They have appointed a forensic auditing company or investigating company, and the company now has started with the investigation, and they are working with our internal auditors in terms of getting the information. What they are busy with now is all the cases that are above 500,000, then we are expecting a report from them by end of March. On the disallowance account, the Honorable Minister has touched very well on this one. I must just indicate that what is left on it, as the Honourable Minister indicated, that the account has then since reduced from 186 million to 73 million, now to 14 million. And the 14 million has been agreed upon through the processes of the department, through the Treasury, where we have consulted National Treasury in terms of the writing off, and there has been a concurrence that the amount can be written off. And we have also consulted our legal team within the department, whom they have also looked at it. And they were happy that as long as it's within the policies and the procedures of the department, we can go ahead with that process. Now, the other area on the audit is around misstatement account. The long-term plan that we have, Honorable Chair, with the misstatement is that when we fill the position of the CFO, we are looking for a chartered accountant. In our advert, it was clear that a person who will be appointed, it is essential for that person to be a chartered accountant. Then the short term to deal with the material misstatement. Currently, we have a vacancy of a director and a deputy director in the section that does the financial reporting, the preparation of financial statements. So with those two vacancies, we have then since approached the acting DG, who has agreed that we appoint an accounting firm that will assist us in the preparation of the financial statements to augment the vacancies of a director and a deputy director. Then over and above that, we have also nominated two officials within the department at the senior level to then go through the training with National Treasury, which took place in April, which then they will be able to provide the first level of review of the financial statements before they are given to the actual CFO for the final review. Chairperson, that is all around the audit action plan. If you allow me, I will move over to the issues of the investigation on continued expired contracts. Thank you, Chair. The cases that we have from the first one, which is on the data centric, the first case, it has been closed, it has been completed. And then the second one on the MasTec, which is also on the laptop, it has been investigated. The investigation has been completed and the case has been closed. And then the managers who were supposed to be in disciplined, unfortunately, they are deceased, so we couldn't go ahead with that. On the third one, which is BT Communication, the investigation was completed. And the official who was supposed to be disciplined was disciplined in this case. On the fourth case, Magic Travel, which was on the travel and related services, the case has been completed in terms of the investigation. And then it's also one of the cases where the manager who was supposed to be disciplined has deceased. Then on the fifth one, which is Wings Travel and related services, is the same as number four. The same person was found guilty, and unfortunately, the person is deceased. On the sixth one, which is AGS Phrases around storage and furniture removal, we have investigated the case, and no evidence exists in terms of the investigation reports that we have received. As a result, there won't be any disciplinary action taken around it. The other case on the website and connectivity, those cases have been handed over to National Treasury for investigation. All the other cases that you see, the chairperson on the one for travel services, the one for National Airway Corporation as well, all of those have been handed over to National Treasury for investigation. Number 10, number 11, and number 12. Number 10, we have also handed over to National Treasury. Number 11, it has been finalized, and we have it is one of the cases as well that was falling under the ambit of the manager that has since deceased. And then number 12 is the one, the case has been investigated, and the person has been disciplined around that. Honorable Chair, regarding these cases that I've just received, I've just indicated to you now, we have then taken some measures, corrective measures as a department, because we have learned from the cases. Then what we have then since done, we have then terminated all the contracts, as I've indicated earlier on, of those companies that were there, and unfortunately they were contributing to our irregular expenditure. Now we are still finalizing the process on BT, which I will cover in the next slide. Now, following that as well, as I said earlier on, we have established a contract management unit to monitor both the performance of the service provider as well as the monitoring of contract expiry dates. As I've indicated earlier on, that we have a system now that will, an early warning kind of a system that will inform users when their contracts are about to expire so that they can start with the process. Then there's also regular updates or training sessions that are held with the supply chain officials themselves, with National Treasury, and then also with the BID committees members that we have. And the specific cases or areas that we are addressing are the areas of deviations and contract extension and variations, because those are the areas that we have identified as a weakness in our system. Then the disciplinary action is being initiated for matters where sufficient evidence exists to proceed with such action. And lastly, as I said, we are waiting for National Treasury as well to finalize the investigation, as they are facilitating the forensic investigation for us. Honorable Chair, I will move to BT communication contract and cover that one as well. In terms of the BT communication contract, the original contract was acquired in 2015, which was December, and it was due to expire in December 2020. Now, after we have acquired this contract, in the subsequent audit, the Auditor General then have found that the contract has been awarded irregularly, as supply chain management processes were not properly followed. It was just after awarding the contract. Now, since then, Honorable Chair, it means that from 2015, we have been carrying this irregular expenditure until the expiry in December 2020. However, when the contract was extended on a month-to-month basis until March 2021, with an anticipation that the new contract would have been awarded by then. On the 8th of March, the department wrote to National Treasury requesting a further extension from March 2021, which to allow us with enough time to finalize the bid process. However, National Treasury responded to the department's request on the 15th of March, indicating that the contract extension was not supported, and the reason provided by the department, National Treasury, to extend the contract were not justifiable according to National Treasury, and that the department ought to have conducted and concluded the tender process by then. Now, what then National Treasury instructed the department to do is to follow the provisions of the irregular expenditure framework to deal with irregular expenditure as a result of non-compliance. Now, the first bid that we sent out, a chairperson, the tender was advertised in October 2020 and it closed in December. Seven bids were received by the closing date, but none of the seven met the requirements stipulated in the TO, in the terms of reference. Then six of the bids were disqualified on responsive criteria which is they did not submit required CVs of professionals or of personnel. They did not submit the 30% subcontract agreement. They did not provide a pricing schedule as the standard each document, which is SPD 3.1. And then the seventh bid was disqualified as it did not meet the 60% threshold on the functionality side now, which was category A. Then the bid committee therefore recommended the tender to be cancelled due to non-responsiveness of the proposal. The acting director general approved the cancellation and we re-advertised the tender. Now, the second one that we re-advertised, a legal opinion firstly was obtained because we had to revise our terms of reference. We received the legal opinion after revising the terms of reference. And then the terms of reference were then presented to the risk unit, which is a process in the department. And then we subsequently advertised our tender on the 22nd of June 2021, which closed in August. The bid was the bid evaluation and the adjudication committee then recommended approval to the acting director general for the awarding of the bid. With this one, we did receive a responsive bid. Now, while we were in the process of finalizing the recommendation, after the recommendations were done to the acting DG, before the acting DG finalized the processes in her office on the 19th of January 2022, the National Treasury came back to the department indicating that one of the bidders have written a letter to them. As a result, they are requesting information on the bid process that has been followed by the department and then instructed that the current bid process be put on hold until their verification process is concluded. DECO then did provide the documents to National Treasury and still in January, and National Treasury has finalized the evaluation and they are allowing the department to proceed with the bid. That is the information that we got early in March. And then, however, they want us to re-evaluate the suppliers to allow for the fairness. So that is the process that we are doing now. We are proceeding with the bid that we have advertised. Now we are calling together the bid evaluation committee that has looked at it to re-look at the processes around that. Now, to conclude on this matter, Honorable Chair, I must indicate that the department is currently not in a position to cancel the contract for the network services. And the reason being that it will mean that the ICT network will have to be shut down and therefore officials at head office as well as missions will not be able to operate. And National Treasury was formally made aware of this reality. Hence, then they said to the department, we must just make sure that we follow the process for the reporting and also for the investigating the irregular expenditure process. Now, the process of investigating irregular expenditure is also being pursued by the department for continuing to utilize the current contract after expiry. Hence, the request for assistance from National Treasury Specialized Audit Unit has been sent through. The department has reported all expenditure that is related to this contract in terms of the irregular expenditure framework and has instituted disciplinary processes that were related to the awarding of this contract. And the department also intends to apply for condonation when the process has been concluded. Now, we were asked to also indicate the profile of this company. You can see it on the board, Honorable Chair, as it indicated, they are chairperson, they are non-executive director, they are managing director, they are CFO, and also the accounts manager for the department. Honorable Chair, I will move now to the migration from the ARF to SATPA, which I think the Honorable Minister has covered that one greatly. So I will move over to the update on separating the property management portfolio from the finance branch. The background on this one, Honorable Chair, is that the department has repositioned its property management functional area as part of the organizational structure review, which is underpinned by the organization-wide renewal process. Now, the organizational structure review process is at an advanced stage where in the process, the proposed organizational structure is currently being consulted with the Minister of Public Service and Administration. And in terms of the proposed organizational structure, the property management portfolio will reside within the office of the Chief Operating Officer, no longer in the office of the Chief Financial Officer. Now, the property management portfolio will also be renamed as Real Estate Management Portfolio, which is in line with international best practice standards. Now, following that, the review of the organizational structure process, the executive authority will engage our acting DG with a view to proactively changing the reporting lines as per the proposed organizational structure whilst awaiting concurrence from the Minister of Public Service and Administration. And this, we will be able to do it, Honorable Chair, because we have since appointed our Chief Director for Properties and Facilities Management, who will be heading this section. So it will be easier now to migrate from where they are to the new section with the head of the unit. Chair, if you allow me, I will look at the permanent headquarters for the PAP, which I think also the Honorable Minister has touched on it lengthy. I will just go to the slide where the other slides that are there are just indicating the articles that are there in the host country agreement. In terms of that, they are also indicating the technical annexes that are there in the host country agreement that we have signed. However, the area that I would like to look at is the area where we are proposing cost-saving measures. And with these cost-saving measures that we are proposing, we will also be looking at them when we are revising the host country agreement. One of the areas that we are looking at is to encourage the virtual participation for meetings and briefing at Parliament where it is feasible, obviously. And then we want to procure more efficient ICT equipment to allow for these virtual meetings to take place. We also want to continue with the engagement with the PAP in identifying such measures because we are working together with them to be able to propose these measures. Then also the enduring consistency with other host countries to ensure uniformity in approach, and then we are also maximizing optimization of infrastructure, especially ICT. So what we are basically saying here is that we want to upgrade our ICT infrastructure in such a way that we are able to then have value for money and also be able to save cost with the ICT upgrades that we're going to do. Now, we're also looking at the role of DEPO around the revised host country agreement, around being a facilitator, around being a logistical support, and as we revise the host country agreement. Lastly, Chairperson, what I would like to cover on the PAP, which I'm just adding to what the Honorable Minister has touched on, is that the finalization of permanent accommodation for the PAP, as the Minister has indicated. Now, the one thing that I want to highlight is that the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure is the lead department in this process. Now, the Department of International Relations comes in as a user, which we then provided our requirements to the DPWI in terms of the permanent accommodation for the PAP. Now, those user requirements need to be costed so that we can then move over to National Treasury, who is part of the committee that meets on a weekly basis to discuss the progress in this one. National Treasury, Honorable Chairperson, comes in now as a funding department, where we will be going to them after finalizing the costing of our user requirements. We will go to them for costing, and we are planning to go during this June MTF process for the requesting funding. And we will then leave it to them to decide on the funding methodology that they will follow. But we have discussed with them that we may look at the two methodology. One might be the full funding by the state, or secondly, we can look at the public-private partnership. However, as I said, we will leave that to National Treasury as the expert when it comes to funding methodology. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I will move over to the other slide, which I think is the last slide for consequence management, which the Honorable Chair, I will then hand over to our activity in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Minister, Deputy Minister, and Honourable Member. I am going to speak on the next two slides. In the department, we have handled 12 disciplinary cases, and to date, we have finalized 9. There are 2 that were finalized between the time when the report was submitted and today. So we have 9 that were finalized. And there's one that is a recall, which ended up with the termination of employment. And there are 2 instances where they did not finalize the cases because the contract of the health of mission terminated. So we could not proceed with the cases. Okay, thanks. Then I'll move to the next slide. Speaking about the particular case of Ambassador Musa, which the portfolio committee had asked questions about. The disciplinary case started in June last year. However, because the contract of Ambassador Musa ended on the 20th of February, we could not finalize the case. That's one of the cases that I was referring to. And in between Ambassador Musa challenged the suspension that he was put on, and the case was taken to GPSC. The department defended the dispute successfully. Now, because the contract of Ambassador Musa has ended, the department would not be able to proceed further with the case. Next slide, please. Thank you. The case of the CFO, the minister has reported on, I would not speak to that. And the last point that I have here is in relation to the members of the bid adjudication committee who were involved in the New York project. They have made representations to the accounting officer, the acting DG, and the recommendations from the representations that have been made
are being compiled by the person that has been appointed to look into that. Now, the last slide in respect of consequence management, I'd like to inform the honorable members that all the cases that are dealt with in the department are handled in terms of the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council Resolution 1 of 2003, read with the SMS handbook for members of the SMS. Thank you very much. I'll hand over to you.
Thank you very much. speakers are inside the room here. So when there is a lady response on your side, don't think that is a technical call. This will be moving a bit a few meters for you to hear. Another gentleman over.
I want to start off just by welcoming the new DG. I've been thinking out of turn, but I hope it's not just ignore his brother. We do wish you well, and I think something is straight faced. But we do wish you well, and we look forward to working with DG. I must say, I thank the minister and their team for the openness and the transparency which they showed us today. What I would like to have seen is some of the names of those ambassadors that have embarrassed us and the outcomes of the guilty party. One of those officials that are supposed to represent South Africa that are embarrassed us. And why I say that is when the guilty party tell us what happened there. Don't be standing where we walk in this community for the appointments that have been made and where some of these ambassadors have been sent. I keep on asking about the ambassador that was sent to turn us against. There was another disciplinary hearing that she was involved in. However, he says me well. It was quite surprising to see that she then got sent to down south. And I was just quite intrigued that someone like Ambassador Swayne, who I know the problem with being appointed to China, there was has now been appointed to China. So I assume that the security clearance for Ambassador Sweden all of a sudden has been lifted, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe just get clarity on that. This might seem as a silly question, but there's methods to my madness here. On the officials that have been for the tenders, is it the same official that died? And if not, how did the was it natural death or you know, how did the person die? And as I say, it's not an inquisitive question. It's actually a question of importance to me, given the nature of what we're talking about. In terms of the tenders that are being talked about, the diplomatic bags are one of those tenders that are prioritized. Because of course, that's one of our biggest problems. The second problem that we really have is legalization department. Now, that's one of the departments that we were very proud of, in the sense that people could come to their bank, get their documents legalized while they were there. And that would be the end of the story. Now we have to courier documents, and people rely on these for their jobs, for their weddings, for many, many important purposes. But they actually have to be couriered to this department. They have to be well-timed, and you really have to rely on officials. And I'm worried that the officials that run that legalization department are actually also under pressure themselves. And the minister has responded to me to tell me that backlog has been reduced, thankfully, from 6 weeks to a month. But is there not a way we can maybe just put some more staff into that department just to get rid of that backlog so that we can get it, you know, get it as a one-stop shop again? People can ease out the career and that you can go in and, you know, you can run as a foot traffic once again into the building. In terms of the report, the New York report, I see that we finalized the CFO and the DG, I still maintain that I would have liked to see the other DCs as opposed to music. For the New York side, I'm not sure if the charges are necessarily against our last DC for New York. But also, and I know it might not be on your pay grade, but I'd like to see the ministers of the past that were involved in the New York, that were figured in the New York side in terms of the names being mentioned. I would like to see them face the news. And this might require us here and not the minister, because there's conflict of interest here. I wouldn't like to put it in the firing line between our peers, but maybe us face this disclosure for us to get the other ministers interrogated on this contract. Because I really do believe that they have the lot to answer for, seeing as they've been mentioned in the report. And speaking of those ministers, Minister Matavane and Minister Tulu have both hired consultants in their terms of office. They both had reports drawn up during their terms of office that have never served to this committee. But I've always been informed that those reports have been so productive and so informative that they should form the basis of what a terms of reference for this committee. And I've answered those before, but I really do believe that our new incoming DEA would do well to make that his focus, make that his baseline focus of making changes. Starting with organograms, I'm so glad to see that he's already looking at organogram tomorrow, and I do agree with the minister that Tesco is inadequately funded. I mean, you must have seen that on the spot. Thank you very much.
Yes, thanks a lot, Madam. Before we go to Parliament, I put that one in the chair of the government. Well, the former minister, you must say, you were informed. So I'm not sure whether there was a report before project. Remember, I'm still really so I don't know whether before there were reports brought here and based on the report informed the opinion or what happened. But one is pretty clear on the former minister and the investigation report.
Sorry, my name is where am I starting? Two ministers and not only one. The second minister is not part of what I talked about. Minister Mashabani was the minister at the time in this legal side. I would suggest that she should give him a chance to answer some questions.
Okay. Honorable Kelly.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members, Deputy Minister and Ministers. Chair, at the outset, let me first apologize if I might repeat some things that have already been covered due to the connectivity and the poor voice overtone. Chair, firstly, I just want to say to the Minister that I'm a bit disappointed that she did not participate in yesterday's debate as the head of the department, as I would have loved to hear her comment, and I hope it was not a reprimand due to the fact that Durko issued out a statement asking for the soldiers to be withdrawn from Ukraine. Just on a side note, Chair. Chair, I had my hand up initially questioning the agenda, as the filibuster agenda, but you did not take my hand. This meeting was supposed to have been an in-house meeting where the minister and members could engage on certain issues prior to this, and this meeting was from October of last year. Going forward, Chair, I just want to say this much, and please do not accuse me of Stonehazenism. On the issue of PEP, you will recall that...
Honorable Chetty.
Yes, Chair.
Honorable Chetty. Can you ask people around you to either move away or they must not say anything? Because we are hearing more than one voice is there.
Is that better, Chair?
Ask the family to move a bit away or wherever you are with.
Okay, is that better, Chair?
They can ask her, Maria. What can you hear now? Honorable Chair, you can proceed. Have you muted it? Honorable Chair, unmute yourself. Ask to unmute if you can just press that, yeah. Honorable Ahmed, can you call Honorable Chet, please? He's the one who insisted that we must have a meeting physical. He's not here now. Honorable Nkosi, in the meantime, proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wish to welcome the inputs by the department and led by the minister, and appreciate the comprehensive report that has been given. I just want to start with the detail on the audit action plan itself. As a general comment, I see that in terms of the yellow bar on control adequacy planned actions and the green bar on control effectiveness and verification, that there is some inconsistency between what is written there and the narrative. I think the narrative is much more updated than the audit action plan itself. So if the department can look into that. And specifically, I would just comment that my interpretation of that is that all the actions that are written incomplete there may not necessarily mean that nothing is done. It may mean it's ongoing or that the actions have not reached final completion. Are in the process of being completed. That is why you have incomplete, and I think it's technical language in terms of the template itself. So if the department can just clarify that, does incomplete mean that closer to the next financial year end, we have not completed these tasks, or that it simply means that it is ongoing and reaching finality? But in specific terms, Chair, there's the issue of, for example, in the receivables, if you look at the yellow bar on control adequacy, item number 5 on preventative measures, it says action to be taken against officials who are not complying with the Department of Home Affairs Revenue standard operation procedures. This relates to monies that are due to Home Affairs which have not been paid or reconciled. My question is, what action is being taken against those officials in the missions who have not made the reconciliations or who are responsible for not paying over the money to Department of Home Affairs, as this impacts directly on Home Affairs, Chairperson? And then, Chair, in a consistent way, you go also to the material misstatements it also says take action on officials and missions that will not comply with the requirements of MCS and AMD. And in the control effectiveness bar, that is not reflected, what action is being taken. So in relation to all of them, and you cascade down, there is that consistency. So I would like to ask, what action is being taken against officials in missions that are responsible for irregular expenditure? And in that regard also, at head office, who are the DGGs that are supposed to be responsible for those missions who have not ensured that irregular expenditure is not incurred, and what action is taken against those DDGs. On contract management, in fact, SCM General, I think that the audit action plan goes into much detail. And in specifically, I think there is a lot of improvement that we are seeing. And because we don't have a base document to work from, like the previous action plan, I think we should take this as a step forward in the department improving in that aspect. And it, for me, it is welcome. My concern, though, is still that we do not take action against people that are responsible for non-payment in 30 days, for ensuring adequate contract management, etc. The other question, Chair, relates to the issue of the African Parliament. I just want to check, Chair, in relation to the African Parliament, the expenditure that is reflected in the report on the current operational expenses of the Parliament, where is it reflected in both the budget and the annual report? Is it reflected as such? And if we may be reminded, what item is there, or does it in which it is reflected? And also in relation to that, Chair, I realize from the input that there's quite a lot of background work that is being done to ensure that this finally the project is brought into fruition. And absence of this information, I think the public deserves to know the progress that is made, both in South Africa, and those that are participants and members of PAP have to be appraised of this progress. I said somewhere that perhaps this matter, we don't need to repeat it. But I think that against the background of the information that we have, I think I'm comfortable that there's a lot of work that is being done in the background, Chairperson. The last issue, Chair, relates to the issue of ICT. I think the progress in relation to the termination of the contract is welcomed, and one appreciates the fact that the department is responsive to the concerns that we raised. I, however, think, Chair, that there is a need for us to pay attention to what National Treasury is saying and monitor the department's compliance with what National Treasury is saying in relation to this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Nkosi. Just to inform you, Honorable Members, that side, that we have been honored by the arrival of Honorable Faber. You are welcome, Honorable Faber, into the meeting. You will be welcome to speak. I hope you are following on your gadget, the discussion. Honorable Chetty, we are going back to you now.
Thank you, Chair, and my apologies. I hope you can hear me clear now.
Yes, you are clear.
Yeah. See, like I said, where I stopped was, I hope you do not accuse me of teen-handism when I bring up the following. A week or two prior to COVID, the department...
Don't worry, 3 years to go.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, the department informed us that in 2 weeks' time, there will be the soil turning for PEP. The DA made it very clear that that was a dream and it's a far-fetched reality. And we were accused again at that time of being non-progressive. Chairperson, at the same meeting, we raised the issue as to whether South Africa having taken over the role of PEP and the cost implications, whether it was the right thing to have done. We are accused of not being loyal because of the history and everything else that is connected to that. Today, Chairperson, I'm glad to hear and see in the report that the advice given 2 years ago by the DA is now taken seriously, where a cost analysis and a comparison with what is happening in other countries is now being undertaken because of the view that this is now an expense that we ourselves cannot carry on to bear. Furthermore, Chairperson, the minister did make mention of those members or those officials who had been suspended and subsequently fired. And now we hear that there are going to be arbitration that's taking place. Now, Chairperson, the minister herself has confirmed to us in a sitting that there will be action, there will be recourse for those individuals involved. And when we raised the concern at that time about the monies for fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we were told that it will be garnered from them and that nobody will get away. Today, Chairperson, we hear about arbitration, and you and I both know in arbitration cases, no one is going to be paying anything that's due for the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The other concern, Chairperson, is that in the minister's report, I thought she would allude to the fact of the one thorny issue of the acting DG and her remarks on Facebook. If she did, my apologies, because like I said, the line was quite bad and I may have missed it. And lastly, Chairperson, it would be nice for the minister to take us into her confidence as to the statement by DECO. If that already happened, again, my apologies. But I would like to know the discerning view as to what has happened from the statement by DECO as opposed to the presidential and South Africa's current stand. Thank you very much, Chair. Other items have been covered by members before me, which left me at a disadvantage, but thank you, Chair.
Yeah, we're sorry we lost you in the process because the last matter you are raising was not part of the report. So we'll excuse you for that, Honorable Chair. We understand we lost you in the process. We'll now go to Honorable Meswe Muruti.
Firstly, obviously, greetings to the minister, officials, and all members. I would also apologize, firstly, if I'm going to repeat or ask a question about what has already been said, because connectivity from your side, Mula Stulo, I did say, was not good enough. And even with the minister, it was very difficult to follow what she was saying. So if I repeat or a question that has been addressed already because I did not hear well as a result of poor connectivity, my apology for that. Chairperson, I just need
to
I just need clarity, sir, about the contract for BT Communication Services. The Auditor General concluded that it was awarded irregularly. Now, after it expired, I understand that we heard that it was extended on a month-to-month basis until the 10th of March 2021. Now, what I need clarity on is why something that has been awarded irregularly or a contract that has been awarded irregularly can be allowed to be extended even though it was on a month-to-month basis. And thereafter, National Treasury, when they requested another extension, did not support the request, did not condone it. He said that the contract could not be extended again. Thereafter, DECO said the department was not in a position to cancel the contract. And obviously this gives me a serious challenge that even when both auditor general realized that it was awarded irregularly and National Treasury also does not support the extension, DECO still says that they are not in a position to cancel the contract for the network services. Obviously, one of the reasons here is that if they do that, the ICT network will have to be shut down and DECO officials at the head office and missions will not be able to operate. I do not understand why after the department became aware that the contract was awarded irregularly, why they did not start looking or maybe advertising so that the whoever gets the contract will would get it properly rather than not call for new applications. And then they want to continue with a contractor who did not get this job legally. My question now is, does this not show a lack of urgency within the department to eradicate the continual unethical practices of awarding contracts irregularly? Because if there was an urgency to eradicate this unacceptable practice, then something could have been done rather than to say they cannot cancel the contract. Was there no plan B than just to want to continue perpetuating something that is irregular and that is not supported by National Treasury? So I need clarity around this because it does not make sense to me. Thank you, Sir President.
Okay, Muruti, thank you very much. Honorable Mbanza.
Thank you, Chair. And good morning to the colleagues and the minister and the acting DG and her team. Chair, first of all, I think let me just appreciate the fact that at long last then this meeting has taken place. Of course, the timing was okay, but then something beyond anybody's control happened in terms of all being physically that side. So, Chair, what I just want to raise is that we are happy. I am happy personally that we have received these responses from the minister first and then the department. Because at least for me, that's an indication that at least now we are moving towards a situation where we are going to be able to look at things, do our oversight work, and monitor all these issues that have been raised. I'm not going to go to each and every issue that has been raised, because my colleagues that spoke to me before, I think they've covered quite a number of issues, except to say that Honorable Chetty must not claim easy victory. It was not DA, well, it was raised by DA, but we engaged on the matter and then it became a committee decision. Going forward, so we are happy that now the minister seems to be hands on the deck, working with the department and Chair, because of connectivity also myself, but we have read the documents, we have been provided with the documents. So for me, I think this is a work in progress. And it's an issue that now we'll have to have a plan as to how now we monitor each and every areas that have been raised. On the issue of CCMA, Chair, in terms of Labor Relations Act, both the employers and the employees, their rights that are clearly stated there and platforms that they can use. So I think for me, it will be proper just to wait for those processes to unfold, because the employer has done what they are supposed to do, subjected the two senior employees to a DC process, and then they've got the right also to appeal the decision. But my question on that one, maybe I might be jumping a gun, or maybe the minister will be at liberty or acting DG to answer that, and if they are not comfortable to answer it, it's fine also. I'm just asking hypothetically, if then the CCMA process and arbitration and all those eventually rule in favor of the DG and the former DG and the former CFO. And why I'm raising this issue is because already the minister has introduced a new DG in the person of Mr. Dango. Now, what would be the situation? So that's why I'm saying that maybe I'm just, because the department also will have other recourses also to challenge it up to maybe to labor court and whatever those processes, up to the constitutional court. But I'm just interested that how do we run those two processes when they are not concluded, and then at the same time we also employ a permanent DG. So what would be the situation? Chair, the other issue that I want to raise is the issue of public works. I've seen here on the issue of the Penn Parliament that the lease agreement expired at the end of February 2015, and the Department of Public Works was requested to engage the landlord regarding an extension of the contract. Now, I heard the minister saying something about that, but what I want to check, since now we have a Foreign Service Act, which empowers or maybe take all the responsibilities that have to do with property and all and the infrastructure back to the department. Now, the decision was taken for the Department of Works to engage the landlord. So I want to understand whether that arrangement is still going to go on, or now the department will be the one that is engaging with the landlord, having been empowered by the Foreign Service Act. On that one, Chair, also, it's not part of the report, but I think maybe going forward, we'll also want to know how far is the department implementing the Foreign Service Act, and when are we going to see the regulations that will assist the act to be implemented. So, Chair, I think at this point in time, we can just say this is work in progress. But at least now we have the plans, the audit action plan, and then we'll scrutinize it on an ongoing basis and monitor the implementation of those outstanding issues, and also monitor the issue of implementation of consequence management when it relates to other staff that are below the ones that have been subjected to the disciplinary hearing. Because when you deal with the issue of New York pilot project, it did not confine itself only to the DG and the CFO. There were also issues to deal with other employees who in one way or the other were involved also in that whole project. So, Chair, thanks very much. And I think we'll await patiently the response of the minister. Thank you very much. And the department.
Thank you, Honorable Mpanza. We have Honorable Faba on our side here. Ntate Faba. Thank you very much, Honorable Chet, Honorable Faba. Honorable Mpanza, can you lower your hand?
Okay, Chet, I will do so.
Okay. Thank you very much. You know that I will not use that terminology of yours of legacy hands. And so on. From my side, Minister and the collective, is just one inquiry. It's relating to the part that talks about DT communication. There's somewhere where the report talks about a director who, against whom some action has been taken with regard to DT communication. And the report says the matter is now closed, which I think we should do and agree. But what I'll ask the department to do is at least to give us some details with regard to that particular matter so that we can understand the details that led to this official against whom some action has been taken, who has directed the department for about 5 years, if I'm not wrong, just from 2015 to 20. If a little bit of detail can be given, it will be useful so that we can use it properly as a portfolio committee. We will now give over to the minister and the deputy minister to respond. After which, if there are areas, honorable members, where we are not very clear, and you want to be clarified and so on, we will give you an opportunity to do that. Then the minister can clarify. And when that is done, then we will close the meeting. Over to you, Honorable Minister.
I'm not aware of a person that allows me to say the names of the people and the sense of the people in our community. One of the people for me who is to be there, because most of the other rights, the two actors that make them, they have rights in terms of. And I never said it when I was crazy, and despite the fact that the Constitution of the Canadian state in Parliament was against us, either had committed to the Canadian, etc. But I don't know where the, you know, the way it's called. So this is not a dilemma that I have. And so I'm not sure that you can give the name from the state security and many have been held up because the process is taking very, very long. So any of my students now in the process that has been announced I'm not certain of many of them has been unreached because it may be for my time, it's not on my way. That's what I cannot do. That we also have to, you know, handle very, very carefully, because if we appear to be compelling and then staff become ill, you then, you know, face a very problematic situation. And we have lost several officials in Durko, and it's, you know, been a particularly difficult period. But I think it's distressing when families cannot connect. One family member is already in UAE or in the UK. And because we're not legalizing the document, the wife and the children can't go, that should be addressed. So where we can intervene, we do so. But DG is a point placing more people to provide assistance. Of course, because it's a legal process, you don't want to be careless with who you place this, but it is a matter that we are addressing. And I'm really glad that you've allowed us to say so in the public domain, because we've kind of been dealing with it in the department. You know, I've been asking about this matter because you've raised it more than once about former officials and so on. In terms of the law, there isn't provision once a person has left the public service, except where a criminal charge can, be pursued against them. So we are unable to follow the individuals that you've referred to be charged on the matter of this New York matter. I don't know what the practice might be with respect to colleagues you have made reference to, but as far as I'm aware, there is nothing in the Constitution called former minister. There are ministers, that's the executive. So we assume, you know, essentially responsibility and authority upon appointment to a particular department. You, Honorable Bergman, used the phrase responsibility for entering into the lease. On the New York matter, there was no lease. Monies were paid out for nothing. There was no lease, there was no property, there was no land. I don't want to go into the substance, but it was things such as, I've done the work of putting the papers together, or I identified somewhere for you to look at. You've got to pay me $4 million. Or I gave you a catalog with likely properties, and that cost you $100,000. Or I've created an entity which will be the entity that the appointed agent in South Africa will be liaising with. For creating that entity, you've got to pay me $50,000. These monies were paid despite the indication that the actual tender was irregular. So it is the action of signing off money that has been the core substance of the charges, because there is due care in terms of the PFMA expected of an accounting officer and a chief financial officer and other officers. Those payments are not authorized by ministers. I've been in the department for 2 years. I've not received, out of the thousands of submissions I get, not one has come and said, we wish to contract the following. They do it. They're the ones who contract. We don't. So this is something that I really wish to table here, and to say the actions we took related to wasteful and authorization of payments amounting to 117 million South African rands, much less in dollars, but in conversion, huge for our country and for. There was nothing, no lease. If there'd been something, I would have been a happier person. Nothing. No land, no property, nothing. This matter of the reports, I think if you'll give me more information when you have an opportunity, sometime perhaps drop me a note on what the reports are that you're referring to. I know that Minister Sisulu, commissioned, for example, a report on review on foreign policy, which was done by a team led by former Deputy Minister Aziz Fahd. We certainly might, you know, be able to make that available. Then there was a report on allegations of sexual harassment in the department. Could make that available. They don't provide very useful information, because people make allegations in public meetings but then don't come forward when there's a proper investigation. But if there are other reports that you're referring to, do let me know. I will certainly look at that. I didn't quite get the comment Honorable Chetty was making right at the beginning about a debate. I couldn't quite hear clearly. So, and it wasn't about the issues which I was asked to report on. I very strictly stuck to the letter that I had been sent by the committee and didn't go to other places. I think the sod turning, we certainly were very hopeful when we assumed the chair of the African Union. There was great anticipation, and we had been given the impression by the department that president would be able to do the sod turning, but it quickly became clear that we were not at a point where this could be done, hence the process that we've now initiated. I never received any advice from anybody, but we followed that process through. The process of arbitration in the bargaining council just results from the way the legislation allows a complaint of the nature that has been submitted of unfair dismissal. There are procedures that are followed. Arbitration doesn't mean there will be an award to one party or the other. So I think let us let the processes conclude and then we'll see what the outcome is. Acting DG, Mr. Chetty had asked about the remarks on Facebook, which I thought had been addressed in previous meetings of this committee. I don't know what taking the committee into confidence on Dirk's statement means. I haven't been made aware that that's on the agenda. It isn't. But if it's referring to the Ukraine-Russia matter, the government has a very consistent approach on this subject. I am not aware of any disagreement on this matter. We believe that there should be negotiation, that we should all advocate for peace, and we believe the issues of all the parties must be given attention, which is what a negotiation process is established to do. And that is the position that we have articulated. We believe that the United Nations, particularly the Security Council and the Secretary General, should play far more of a leadership role in seeking an outcome that is a peaceful outcome and that ends the current armed conflict that is underway in Ukraine. We really are distressed and had warned that war leads to the kind of horror we're all observing. And so I don't know about taking anyone into our confidence, but this is the position both of our government, our president, and Durko. And we'll continue engaging the parties, encouraging that there should be engagement and work toward a negotiated outcome. On the BT communication, I think we'll ask our acting CFO to speak to that matter. I want to assure Reverend Mishwe, Honorable Reverend Mishwe, that we are trying, Honorable Reverend, to really stress the importance of ethical conduct and of attention to the important role of service we all have within the public service. I'm never one who pursues or encourages unethical practices. And so there isn't a lack of urgency. I must say it takes long to get things underway in all departments, particularly actions that challenge negative established practices. But I'm resolute, along with the team of officials that lead the department, that we are going to act against those who do the wrong thing. And I believe my actions in the first 2 years in office have indicated that we will indeed take action. Honorable Mpanza is right. Let's allow the processes to be concluded. in the labor sector and let employees exercise all the rights that they've been given, and we ourselves, as the employer, must provide appropriate information and responses in that process and ensure that we uphold our own obligations. I don't have a crystal ball, Honorable Mpanza, so I cannot guess at what would happen should the ruling go one way or another way. So again, I come back to where you began, which is let us allow the processes to be concluded. The acting CFO will speak on the expiry of the lease and the actions taken with respect to that. And we'll also assure you, Honorable Mpanza, that we are finalizing the draft regulations. And I hope that in a short while we'll be ready to bring the regulations to the committee and then make them public for comment. On DIRCO's role insofar as the Foreign Service Act is concerned, while I'm happy that we were able to secure the responsibility for a property, for ownership, as well as disposal, within public works and infrastructure, they have technical people who are schooled in estate management and in property law. So I will always use the skills in public works and infrastructure where I believe we need advice. I'm not going to behave in a manner that suggests that we in DIRCO understand everything to do with property management and administration, and therefore we exclude use of the skills that do lie within public works and infrastructure. They have persons that are qualified quantity surveyors. I've spoken to some of them. They have engineers, they have architects. So we're able to draw on those skills, and so we'll always work with accessing those skills and advice where necessary, while upholding our own responsibility as the property holder. Honorable Nkosi, thank you very much for your kind remarks on the report and the fact that you appreciate it. The team in DIRCO, the officials, have worked very hard to prepare this report and ensure that we give you a report that is substantive and that provides responses on the matters that the members of the committee have raised. I think for me, the term incomplete means the process is underway and we haven't reached the full result of the particular objective. But again, the acting CFO will speak to this matter. The matter of the Department of Home Affairs and appropriate management of funds that should go to Home Affairs is part of the conundrum we have had with the suspense disallowance account. I remember when I was Minister of Home Affairs, we had similar problems with DIRCO with getting our money and so on, and I'm so glad now we are resolving this matter. And again, Ms. Bengal will speak about action taken against particular officials. We have, with the acting DG, been speaking to the DDGs to make clear to them my performance expectations, that DDGs have a responsibility to take an interest in administration. They're not there just for policy or content. They must give greater support to missions. They should be giving guidelines to heads of mission. They should be monitoring the product and work of the SCM, the CSM, corporate service managers. So we've added this as part of the performance review of DDGs, because I found that DDGs seem to see themselves as absolved from responsibility in these particular areas. But we have asked them to pay closer attention, and I have caused them on a quarterly basis to report on their particular branches and particularly report with respect to expected audit outcomes. So we are beginning, I hope, to see them playing a fuller role in supporting us in achieving good financial and annual performance plan outcomes. Also, I had concern with respect to DDGs honoring their obligations in some of the bid committees where they should be assisting us as chairs. So we're trying to make sure that our DDGs exercise their role properly. On the PAP expenditure, the acting CFO should point out the particular line item from which the funds are drawn and help answer on that one. On the Pan-African Parliament progress and the commitment to the Pan-African Parliament and our hosting, which has been raised very frontally in the African Union, I have been able to respond on behalf of South Africa to assure the leadership of the African continent that South Africa is fully committed to its host obligations. And I've illustrated to them the steps we have taken and the responsibility we currently execute with respect to our responsibilities as the host. Following the incident that occurred in the Pan-African Parliament last year, the chair of the African Union Commission designated an investigative committee to visit South Africa and to look into the events that were very public all over the continent and to provide a report to him for submission to the Executive Council of Foreign Ministers and the Summit of Heads of State. That report was done. I was interviewed by that team, and I was able to speak to the report and its recommendations at the last summit and Executive Council meeting this year of the African Union. So we are fully committed, and all our colleagues understand this. I think there has been some attempt to try to say we are not committed to being the host. I believe there are countries that might be interested, but I made them aware of what being a host means and the obligations that come with it. And I think we are the only ones who will be able to execute this particular responsibility. So I believe we have resolved these concerns. What we now need to do is there must be a sitting, a convening of the Pan-African Parliament for it to exercise its obligation of electing office bearers. We've requested that the Commission Chair, Mr. Mahamat, must be at that plenary session, as well as the Chair of the African Union, President Macky Sall. Both have committed that once the date has been set, they will make every effort to be there. But we said that Mr. Mahamat has to be. We are less forceful with respect to President Macky Sall, but we believe the AU Commission Chair must be present during that first plenary where a new leadership of the parliament will be designated. I also hope that our contingent of MPs from our parliament will have a proper caucus about how they must conduct themselves as they prepare for that plenary once a date has been set. Honorable Faber, the CFO will speak to the 76 million. It's dealt with in the presentation, but she'll repeat. so that you can get a sense of what we're talking about. I've spoken to the matter of the contract. You know, we as Parliament pass the laws, and I can't act outside of them. I can only act within the confines of the Labour Relations Act or the Public Service Act. I actually believe that there should be discipline because of the levels of corruption and unethical practices we've had in our country, but it would mean that we must amend existing laws. But I think a process should be put in place. Yes, there are accountability measures within the department and within the law on recovery of money. Again, acting CFO will speak to that. And the honorable chairperson, the CFO and acting DG will speak on actions against officials in the ICT domain. I must say, I'm really thrilled, honorable members, that finally, our officials have the tools of trade that are necessary for them to work efficiently. The IT contract has been executed, and I hope Honorable our acting CFO will speak about that one day and inform the honorable members about the distribution of laptops and other facilities, which have really begun to dynamize the working atmosphere in the department. Honorable Chair, I stop at that moment, but CFO and acting DG have matters that they can just shortly add to. My apologies for taking so long, but these are weighty matters. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you,
Minister.
Thank you,
Minister.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister.
So we are ready, you are here, so don't worry about that. And don't worry about the 10%. It's that accountability to the Parliament. ADG for
people. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you to our minister. She has responded many concerns or questions. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I was going to start there back with the Honorable Chair Chief. I did apologize in the committee, I think sometime early this year or late last year, but I think I will again apologize. I had said last time I may have been taken by emotions, and the department is bigger than my emotions, and I apologize profusely. I also went to the minister. I had the meeting with the minister, and I apologized to the minister. And this is sincere, and I repeat it sincere, because last it sounded like it wasn't. It is sincere. The department and the government of the day is bigger than me, and I profusely apologize. Honorable Bergman, indeed, we are prioritizing staffing legalization team. We have done so thus far. We have two experienced officials who just came from the mission, and we prioritized the legalization section, and that, and I know that that is not enough. We have spoken to our representatives that legalization should be prioritized. We are in a process. There were intense There was a process of interns that had applied for positions, and we've spoken to the relevant managers, because at least it's within my branch, that if they are not busy, they should be taken to a legalization section in ensuring that we have to, you are correct, so have to deal with the backlog. And then Honorable Ngozi, Honorable Meshwe, Madam Peng will deal with that. Honorable Nkosi asks about action taken against officials who have not paid Home Affairs. This is part of the forensic investigation that is taking place at National Treasury. We had a meeting again with them, with the company last week. There were documents that they wanted from the department, and they have promised us that we'll get the first draft report before the end of March. And there was also a question, what action has been taken to officials that contribute to irregular expenditure? And the minister has also touched on that. But initially, when this started, the acting CFO wrote to the missions, but to the CSM. Then we had a meeting with our minister, where I was also instructed to that I must write to the head of mission, and they must give us reasons on why this is happening and how they intend to ensure that it doesn't. They've made the representation, and this has been referred now to the loss control officer to study those responses from our missions abroad, and then they will make recommendations, and we are awaiting the report thereafter, and then we will, on their recommendation, take the course of action. The minister has also responded on mentioning names, especially on the director that the action was taken. But Madam Mashau will talk on the action, and then Madam Bengu will address all the finance issues, including the audit action plan. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Indicated by Honorable Minister. The officials that have been that is deceased, one of them was the head of supply chain management, and he died because of I think it was cancer. And then the other colleague was the head of he was our head of information technology unit, ICT, and he also died due to complication in his also medical condition. It was a medical condition, if I may put it that way. So those are the two officials that we've been referring to as deceased, the head of supply chain and the head of communication and information technology within the department. Then in terms of the audit action plan, Honorable Chair, I agree with Honorable Bosi. We need to update the action plan. Since it was submitted to the portfolio committee, there has been a lot of progress in between. So it is a little bit outdated compared to what we are presenting today. So we will have to update. And yes, Honorable Minister, the incomplete means ongoing work that is taking place. You would have seen as well, Honorable Chair, on the audit action plan that we would have said there are five things that needs to be done. And when you look at the bullet, of the five, four things have been done. Now we're finalizing the last one, meaning that it is ongoing and it's work in progress. So that is what we mean by incomplete. Unfortunately, the template from National Treasury, you can only choose two things, complete or incomplete. You don't have the in-between.
then with PAP, where is it, the expenditure? The expenditure is within program 3, which is global governance. Within global governance, we have a responsibility, Africa Multilateral, where the separate responsibility, you find it there for the Pan-African Parliament. So that is where you find our spending on the Pan-African Parliament. It's within the responsibility name called Africa Multilateral. Then the actual line items, it will be based on, if we pay lease, it will be under operating lease. If we are paying for the rental of the cars when there is when Parliament is in session, it will be under car rental, because DECO is the budget is appropriated to DECO. As a result, DECO is supposed to follow its procurement process, which then becomes a line item within our appropriated budget. Then on the matters that were raised by Honorable Chair, the first issue on the contract, which I just want to pick, just go through it again with your permission, Honorable Chair. As I said earlier on, the contract was to expire in December 2020. During October 2020, before the expiry period, the department started with the process for acquiring a new tender and acquiring a new contract, which then it was closing on the 8th of December. From the bids that were received on the tender that was advertised in October 2020, all of them were non-responsive, and I've indicated the reasons why they were found to be non-responsive. Then that forced the department to go out again and re-advertise the tender so that we can then get a qualified a contract to do this work, which was then done. And this is where the process is right now. We have already recommended a company, and then upon that, the National Treasury requested us to pause so that they can then quality review the work that we have done before we even issue, because there was a bidder who wrote to them. They then quality reviewed the work that we've done, and based on that, they came back to the department and then allowed the department to then move ahead with the process, which is what currently is going to take place. The bid committee is set to sit tomorrow to then finalize the bid based on the recommendations that we have received from National Treasury. And yes, the Honorable Minister has covered the issue of agents. We are really pushing for this tender because this is one of the important services for the department. Otherwise, the department will not be able to operate. Even the financial systems will not be able to operate without us having these services acquired. So we are fast-tracking that process. Then on the issue of public works, the issue that we have already now have our Foreign Service Act. Just to add, Honorable Chair, on what Honorable Minister indicated around the issue of public works, just to add that with the Foreign Service Act, the responsibility that is given to our Honorable Minister is for the properties outside the Republic for use of foreign services. So everything are outside the Republic, which is for use of the Foreign Service, is the responsibility of our Honorable Minister. But when it comes to properties inside the Republic, it is a full responsibility of Public Works and Infrastructure. So for us then to be able to finalize the Pan-African Parliament property that we want to acquire or construct or develop, we have to go through public works as the responsible department in this case. Hence, I indicated in my presentation that public works is the lead department in this process, and therefore is the requester of the service in this regard. So unfortunately, we still have those parameters between the work that we do and the work that public works they do. But yes, we are using their professional aspect as well, even for us to do the work outside the Republic. For the issue of the lease, even when it comes to the lease, because they have to provide the accommodation, offices and everything inside the Republic, we still go through them and they have to find us the property. So they become our landlord. So they are our landlord who must find us a property. So this is why now we will always wait for them to come back to us and say, we have found you a property, you can rent it. So it's still a responsibility of public works. Honorable Chair, the last issue that I will cover from my side is around the matter that was raised by Honorable Fiber around the disallowance account. The disallowance account, indeed, there were transactions that could not be identified at the time when the audit was done in 2019-20, and those transactions were amounting to 186 million. Now, at first, there were 203 million, and during that 19-20, we managed to reduce the account to 176 million. Now, following that, we then requested our internal auditors to do an investigation, which they then outsourced it to a forensic auditor because they don't have capability of forensic audit. We got the forensic auditor who then audited the account to tell us what went wrong where. Now, based on their outcome, as the Honorable Minister indicated earlier on, is that the main issue is that these transactions are coming from the missions. Now, one of the issues that came out very strongly was the issue of the department or the missions, our corporate services managers being unable to deal with the transaction when it comes to foreign exchange fluctuations and dealing with the foreign exchange rate, which is one of the issues that came out very strongly and which is what we have dealt with now to be able to clear the account. The second thing was the issue on the internal control systems, the deficiencies that were raised there. We have a non-integrated financial system in government. Right now, we use our own financial system as DECO with our mission, which is not integrated to the National Treasury financial system, which is the basic accounting system. Now, to integrate the transaction from one system to the other, it's manual. Now, where there is manual, there is human intervention, and there will definitely be human error. So those are the issues that currently we are facing. We have written to National Treasury requesting that can we please be given a platform where we can bring in a system that will be integrated to their system, which now the negotiations have started with our CIO. So if we can get that done, then a lot of our problems when it comes to accounting for transactions that are coming from the missions will be dealt with easily like that. So that is where we are. But right now, where we are with that account, we have reduced it to 14 million. From 176, we are sitting at 14. And the 14, we have then analyzed it and looked at the issues of recoverability based on our policies and procedures that we have in the department, also based on the Treasury regulation. We consulted Treasury, we consulted legal team, we consulted our own internal audit section, and it was agreed that the transactions can be written off based on the nature of the transactions, and that we have since done as a department. So from our side, the disallowance account has been dealt with. The only report that we are waiting for is a report of the Auditor General to tell us that they are satisfied with the work that we have done, or there are areas that they would like us to strengthen. Thank you, Acting DG. Thank you, Honorable Chair. We're using the mission cashbook system.
doing a good job, but we weren't here. That's the stuff there. The money for renovation that we did not use for that. The funds that we just never used. So our department was the one that fought. And I'm simply trying to correct all of that. But we are now the active finance role, and we are responsible for that. Thank you. And if you want to buy one of the properties, yeah, that's
right. Thank you very much. I know I really can't.
Chairperson, I would actually like our Shadow Minister, Mr. Bergman, to handle that. As I was not at that stage here, I know about what happened, but I was not in that process at that stage. Thank you, Chair.
I think that's what you call passing the buck. Just seeing it's actually the last meeting of the acting DG as the acting DG, and I think it was fitting that we got the apology today. I think it was a sincere apology. You know, as the minister says, I think COVID has made has given everyone a frustration that I think a lot of us don't really understand. And I think when it comes to responsibilities and taking responsibility, sometimes we don't empathize with each other's roles and duties. So I just want to say that I think on behalf of the committee, we accept your apology, and we wish you luck in whichever role you go back to, and going forward. Thank you.
I think the rest of us as the committee, we concur with what Honorable Bergman has said unconditionally. Thank you, DG. From my side, just on a personal note, you may want to, in your own private space, look for someone who can do private coaching on those particular issues. I mean, we all make mistakes as human beings, and you can only learn if you make mistakes. And you can only make mistakes if you do something, if you work. If you don't do anything, you won't make any mistakes, therefore you can't learn. So we accept the apologies Honorable Bergman was saying. Minister and Deputy Minister, thank you very much, and the team. We wanted matters of audit outcomes from you. You gave them to us. Two, we wanted the audit action plan. You gave it to us, and you have also agreed with us that it will be updated. We went at the assurance on building and strengthening internal capacity to deal with annual financial statements. You have assured us that over time you will build that capacity. We have seen in the report that you are working with Treasury to train you staff that is dealing with annual financial statements. We welcome that. Fourthly, we wanted you to deal with consequence management, FEMA, and we've got the report, the details of how you are dealing with consequence management. 12 actions clearly stipulated, one still remaining, so we are happy about that. The matters, the fifth one is contract service management issues, corrective actions that you are taking. I think we are happy with that as the committee. Sixthly, we wanted you to demonstrate how you are improving your relations around financial matters with National Treasury. And we have demonstrated how you are doing with that. We're also happy that Minister is going to be meeting with the
Minister of National Treasury in that regard. It will be very important in the same vein to always preempt National Treasury. And CFO, just make sure that you always ensure that you remind the minister that whatever comes from National Treasury has to be in writing. I will not go into details, but whatever comes from National Treasury as a response to you has to be in writing. Particularly, the example here will be those matters that you had to deal with that relate to the ongoing dynamics around currencies that affect some of your audit outcomes. National Treasury has to do, their response has to be in writing. And as I say, I will not go into the details why I'm saying that. The network service things, we wanted them from you. Regarding BT also, you gave us that information, and I think it's important. Linked to that, Honorable Meshwe and all of us, I think one of the things we should understand is that the magnitude of the contract and content thereof makes it very difficult for you to not deal with it in a way in which, like, you are dealing with a three quotation system, where you have a problem, you can just say three quotations and you resolve the mess. So from a financial management point of view, it's very complex. Actually, the department will be putting itself into more trouble if they can do an abrupt termination of the system without a replacement, which means that this thing that we are complaining about of risk, the department will be more exposed in terms of risk. And a bigger problem will await us as a body responsible for oversight. Because the question will be asked, why didn't you make sure that the department, before they did the termination, they had plan D in place? So this is their plan D. What we should be asking for from them is to speed up the process. Minister, if the process can be speeded up, I think it will be okay. The South African Development Partnership Agency bill, we are happy because there's been questions about that, time frames and so on. I think we are content with that, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister. Just on a matter that is unrelated here, Minister and Deputy Minister, you know, one day when I was still part of the executive, I raised with the National Treasury the matter of irregular expenditure, how they define it, how they understand it. I even met with the late Mayor's role, soul rest in peace, Ntate Makwethu. And last week I was listening to National Treasury on SAFM saying irregular expenditure is not corruption. And that is one has been saying all along, and National Treasury was saying all along that it's tantamount to corruption and so on. And my argument has always been that it has to be explained in line with policy. And where you may end up in irregular expenditure, there has to be substantiation and approval on why you are getting into it. So I'm happy now that there's some convergence on this particular matter after taking so long to just arrive at the same understanding, because you don't control environments that you are dealing with. There's very few environments that you are in control of, but most of the environments you are not exactly in control of them. So I'm happy you are engaging National Treasury on that particular matter, and we hope that one day government can just have one accounting system where there will be seamlessness in as far as financial management is concerned. So we are okay, Minister. Thank you very much, and Deputy Minister. As you say, Minister, it has taken long. There's been stop and go on this physical meeting. I'm happy that the graphs are beginning, all of them, to point in the right direction. Whether it's around financial management, whether it's issues of personnel, consequence management. So that list that AG always gives to you, as I can see you are dealing with it and seriously reducing it. So we are happy, and we hope that you can maintain and perform much more better in the next financial year and the other financial years that are coming. Acting DG, we have enjoyed being with you. I know other members have been with you a little bit longer than me, but we have enjoyed being with you. We are not losing you anyway. We'll still be in the house. So like Honorable Bergman was saying, we wish you well in your continuing with your responsibilities. In some instances, it had to become a bit hotter. It's just part of the work. When human beings interact, there will be instances where it will become a bit hotter. If it doesn't become hotter, then there's something wrong. So those moments that you went through as the head of department was part of CADA development. So you the strength that comes from those interactions, I think they are very, very important. So we will maintain those relations with all of you, including yourself. We wish the new DG minister, and we are also happy that you are focused on making sure that the next CFO is somebody in the manner in which it was agreed between the committee and the department in terms of qualifications. So we are very happy about that, that criteria has been adhered to. Honorable members, if there's no announcement. Yeah, you can say it aloud. You can. Yeah.
Just a matter that logistics will be communicated to honorable members in preparation for the oversight to Kuteko. We are traveling on Thursday and traveling back home on Saturday. Thank you, sir.
Next week.
Oh, yes. Namibia has been approved only with the limitation of three members. The formula is that if it's three members, it's two ANC and one DA. Thank you.
Yeah, we have to enter into serious negotiations with Honorable Frawley. Actually, it's a point on our back money. You wrote and said it's on about 2 weeks ago. And so we had to plead with him. And the compromise was that it will be three members going. I don't know who those members are. It doesn't look very likely that I will be part of the three. So we will await you, and we will then take it from there. So we'll be coming to the department next week, Honorable Minister, for you to receive us there. Other than that, this is how we bring the meeting to an end. Honorable members, the staff, everybody else from DERCO and from the portfolio committee, thank you very much for the hard work. South Africans who have been following us on social media, thank you very much for following the work that is done between the department and the portfolio committee. Thank you very much. The meeting is formally closed.
Yes,
Siyalebogha.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next time you must book your flight on time.
Okay.
Even